Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Welcome to the Thinker Girls Pod Channel. Stacey June here, Christy Mercer sunning herself sick somewhere across the country or the world. This is a summer sessions series, which is interviews or chats that we've had throughout the year that we are replaying for you to enjoy your holiday. Hope you've had a moment to appreciate and reflect on what you achieved in 2017. And as we move into a new year, I hope you're enjoying yourself and spending some time with loved ones. So let me get out of the way and let you get straight into the interview. Here's one of our faves. Okay, Lucy Peach, welcome to the Thinker Girls Pod Channel.
Thank you so much for having me.
Lucy, it's so good to have you here. Are you currently wearing red? Because you're not sitting in front of our eyes, so we can't see. But I feel like every pic of you that we've seen online, you're rocking double red, which we're loving.
I have a few red toenails, but I have to tell the truth, and I'm in my dressing gown, so it's not red. I do have a red dressing gown in the show, but I try not to wear that out of hours because it's really lovely.
You're a WA, so do you have a big fluffy one, or is it just more of a cotton kind of throwover number?
I've got a few, actually. I think that's the beauty of working from home, isn't it, that you can wear whatever you want or not, you know.
We also work from home now, although we did work on some big bang, whiz bang radio station for some time.
There was no rock and dressing gowns around that job.
But the funny thing is, one of us will do TV here and there, and then the other will just look like an absolute shit kicker.
So I'm looking like so pov right now, like in this horrific tracksuit, and Stace is looking, had profesh hair and makeup done, looking very bright.
I could go to a ball, like it's just, and TV makeup as well. It's intense.
Yeah, it's slapped on pretty thick over there. But anyway, I'm loving your range of dressing gowns in that there's more dress to certain dressing gowns. I think that's just a good place to be in life.
Well, I had one made for the show for the menstrual phase. And, you know, I wanted to make some costumes that were sort of bespoke for the different phases of the menstrual cycle. Yes. And initially my friend said to me, oh, so you're going to make this big sort of grotty onesie? And I said, no, I want it to be something that's really like deluxe, you know, like something that you put on and it's like this special treat. And so it's silk velvet and it's got a little train and it's just, you feel like you're kind of in Game of Thrones and you're about to do some...
I like the words you're choosing around this topic. Now, the show is called My Greatest Period Ever. Please tell me how Bob Dylan, Stevie Nicks are inspirations behind that.
Well, I suppose Bob Dylan has been just a bit of a mainstay in terms of songwriting inspiration since I was a kid. I've always really loved, you know, Bob Dylan albums, and they've been sort of part of the sonic background of my life, I suppose, and the same as Stevie Nicks, but also for just, you know, divine feminine
boss bitch,
goddess, boss bitch, absolute fashion, the whole gamut of what it means to be a really creative woman in touch with who you are. And look, I don't know if they are also as equally inspired by the menstrual cycle, but that's just I bet Stevie Nicks is. I bet you any money she...
Yeah, I reckon she would be. It'd be right up her alley.
I'm intrigued, though, because I feel like women as well, she would be, but what is she? How is she having conversations with Mick and the others? Like, is she...
Well, no, she,
I don't know if
she's
been
in this band
up.
With... I mean, I guess she had Chrissy, but, I mean, I don't know whether... They probably were in sync and, you know, everything.
So Mick Fleetwood was in the band. Chrissy, who is that? Who is Chrissy?
Chrissy McVee was the other woman, and
I didn't even know. I didn't know her name.
I didn't know.
I knew
that
there was another girl, but I didn't had no idea
I
of her
feel
name.
Like a dumb bum.
Yeah, I think that was the story of her life. But I mean, she's a great songwriter in her own
poor
right.
Poor bitch, soz Chrissy.
Yeah, exactly.
Poor bitch.
Yep.
But it is interesting, Lucy, that you are so so fascinated and created so many different shows. I mean, I know you even did a TEDx talk towards the end of last year about the power of the period, and that's so much of what your show's focused on. Where did that kind of interest around the power of a woman's menstrual cycle begin for you?
Well, I suppose it would be remiss of me to not acknowledge my mother, and I think she was just someone who in retrospect, you know, she had six children and largely had them by herself. And when I look back, she taught me how to rest. She taught me how to really acknowledge how my body was kind of telling me what it needed, I suppose. And that was a huge influence. But I did a whole bunch of things and became a human biology teacher. And then I worked for family planning in Western Australia as a sexual health educator. And I did lots of amazing things, mostly teaching puberty and contraception and about STIs and all sorts of things to primary school kids, high school kids, refugee women, lots and lots of different conversations. And I was always so privileged to be part of the space where I got to tell kids how fucking amazing their bodies were. And I've been so mindful of the fact that they're going to come into contact with all of these different messages that maybe aren't as positive. And so I really relished the opportunity to just sit them down and say, your body is actually incredible, and this is how it works, and this is what it means, and yada, yada, yada. And then I came across this book called The Optimized Woman, which really set me off on this path of looking at the menstrual cycle as not just a binary system where you either bleed or you don't bleed, and here's how you, inverted commas, manage your period by, you know, using your tampon, good luck, have a nice life. And you actually see the menstrual cycle as being literally a cycle. And the thing is, we live in a world that really does reward and expect linear behavior. So we're all conditioned to be trucking along at the same kind of energy levels all of the time, which in my opinion is why a lot of women can feel really frustrated or inadequate or overwhelmed, because we're not fucking linear. And, you know, we treat the very process that ensures the survival of humankind as this bothersome little encumbrance. And, you know, the more you look into it, you understand that it's not a little design flaw. It's not like, you know, God or goddess or Gaia or whoever was planning all the birds and the bees and then got to women and just said, oh, sorry, you know, sorry about that. You know, I hope you're born as a man in your next life. It's just, it is so much more than that. And you actually have these four phases, and you can use them. You can plan
well,
for
on
them.
That, so I thought potentially your interest came from a lack of knowledge, because I certainly know that was the case with me. I was handed a book, I'm sure, along with a lot of other girls in the 80s or early 90s, or probably still now in some cases.
I'm still waiting for the book. Yeah. I mean, I got
I'm working on it. I handed the book
like, yeah. Like a girl, and then it was off on your way. And I thought that maybe you were motivated by that. So it's so lovely to hear that that wasn't the case. But about the cycle, I think it's really important for our listeners. I've only just in the past couple of years started to look into it a little bit more, tried really hard to get my period on the full moon. I was like proper like, this is epic, like what we're able to do. But can you break those down for people that might be interested listening that have absolutely no idea what you're talking about?
All right. So basically, everyone has a cycle and it's a different length. And for some people, they are always 28 days. Some people are always 31. I'm actually really quite irregular. And so I guess monitoring my cycle for me is just a way of having a deeper understanding of where I'm at emotionally, mentally, physically, all of those things. And I use it as a lens to check in with myself every day. What day am I on? You know, I mean, What day are you guys on, if it's not too bold to ask? Or you can...
I think I'm about... I ovulated a week ago.
Okay.
So that would mean I'm about a week out.
Yep. Well,
it's so interesting that we're having this conversation now.
I don't know what actual day that is,
yep.
though.
Because I don't really know either, Lucy, because I didn't have a period for about 8 years up until, like, I just stopped the pill about 5 weeks ago and got my period for... 3 days, and that would have ended 2 days ago.
Wow, that
so
must
I've
have
only
been
just...
amazing to bleed for the first time after not
she
having
bawled her eyes out.
Congratulations!
Thank you. I bawled my eyes out, and it's so weird sometimes
it was so
the
funny
way
though. She put the Instagram video up and said, "I've got big news, guys."
In
and
brackets,
I was
for me.
I was away with three blokes, and like, what's happened to Chrissy? I'm like,
she's got a period. Because it's so interesting. Sometimes you just go on about your life and whatever, and this has been definitely a big part of my everyday at the moment. Over the last 5 weeks, going off of the pill, coming out of a big relationship, my skin's going bonkers, feeling emo, getting my period for the first time.
Mm.
And, you know, similarly, I suppose Stace was a bit ahead of me in the sense of knowing what your period is, affecting your energy levels, all that kind of stuff. That's only quite a recent thing for me that in the last few months that I've started looking into.
But I think, and you'll probably find this too, Lizzie, I don't think there's an ahead thing. I think there's just an interest level. I think we're not taught to have interest
I think in particular the reason my interest for myself personally has been sparked lately is because I'm out of a relationship and feeling like I can now come off of the contraceptive pill, whereas before I was like, I know there's stuff that I don't know and I will investigate at some point, but I feel kind of like I've made a decision and I'm sticking to that at the moment, wanting to have unprotected sex.
That is amazing. That's really amazing. I'm excited for you.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
It's so interesting, though, isn't it, that we ignore, you know, you kind of know underlyingly that things are going on with you.
Well,
i.e.
if you look at what's
when
happened
you're ovulating.
Over the last
you know
100
I mean?
Years, the way that we've treated women's bodies, the way that we perceive, you know, femininity, the way we've viewed it as a weakness. I mean, for fuck's sake, like, we would not be here if we didn't have this process. And you know, it used to be that we understood it and that we paid more credence to it and paid more attention to it. And it really, I think there is definitely a shift going on now where people are starting to wake up to things and they're wanting to, you know, they want to recycle, they want to get a solar panel and they want to know how the fuck to use their bodies to the greatest effect, and they want to use what's really being given to them. And, you know, you don't, it's not rocket science, and you don't need to go out and read 25 books and do a degree in sexuality. Basically, the bare minimum is just paying attention to your body. And actually, in a world that really expects us to be on 24/7 and to just be kind of, you know, putting out all the time, essentially, just to do that small thing of paying attention is quite a radical act. You know, it is not sort of common. And if you like, I can just give you a quick run through of the phases and what they're good for.
Yeah, that
great. Give us
as
that.
As well as where your day one starts, because I have started to look into different ways to track my ovulation and and what we think is day one. Like, it's a kind of confusing, I think. It's also, there's a lot of different meanings around that.
Yeah, for sure. And for the, you know, ultimately the big rule is whatever works for you is fine, you know, and really it's just a matter of finding something that works for you and finding a way of understanding it that makes you feel empowered, because that's what it's really all about. But essentially, for the purposes of menstrual cycle awareness, day one is the day that you start bleeding. And when you're bleeding, yep. your hormones, and the main hormones that we're talking about is estrogen, progesterone, and a little bit of testosterone. And when you start bleeding, your hormones are pretty well flatlined. So your energy levels are lower, your pain tolerance is lower, and your need for self-care is a lot higher. And that is the time when really it's like your winter. And if you think about what happens in winter in nature, you're not going out planting fields, you're not going out picking fruit, you're just bunkering down, staying warm, getting ready to prepare for the months ahead, you know. And really the menstrual phase or winter or the reflective phase, as Miranda Gray in The Optimized Woman calls it, this is a really great time to review things. It's a really great time to, you know, sit with all of the things that have happened the month before and to really make some decisions about how you want your month ahead to look. It's a really great time to do some dreaming. And, you know, even if you only get
not
one...
Not necessarily to make decisions, right?
Yeah, I mean, you can really sit with things and see how you feel. And often I use this time to kind of... to meditate on things that I've been unsure about. And you know, same. I like to run big decisions through a whole month, which I know we don't always have the luxury of doing, but to run things through a whole month, things that I'm unsure about. And then when I'm in that reflective winter menstrual phase, often it just drops down. You know, if you make the time and space to just have a really quiet, restful space with yourself, then it's like often it comes to you, that's how I feel about that issue. And
okay, so that's winter, so that's day one
roughly, and the cycle of your period, like the, yeah, yeah. You
day one, yeah. until you stop bleeding. And then what happens is you're getting ready to ovulate, you're getting ready to do it all over again. So your second phase is like spring, or the dynamic phase, the pre-ovulation phase, and that's when you're literally getting ready to lay an egg. So you're running around like a headless chook, you've got shit to do, and you can be quite impatient. Your estrogen is starting to really peak, and it finishes with a little, you know, kick of testosterone, and you really just want to get things done, and you're very much more in the world and outwardly focused, and, you know, you've got your hair back and your running shoes on, and you're just like, get out of my way, I've got shit to do, and, you know, woe betide the person who's going to hold me down. I find I feel quite impatient in this phase. It's just like I really want to get all those projects started, and this is a really great time to start projects. The phase two.
So what would that then relate to? What season? Would that be like
spring? You've
okay.
come out of winter, well, and the little shoots are just popping up out of the soil, and you can feel a little bit vulnerable. You can feel like, whoa, I've got this surge in energy. I've got all these things to do, and, you know, where do I start and who do I tell? And, it, you know, it's sort
of... I think also, and in that time for me, it often can feel a bit overwhelming from a jump from winter to spring.
Absolutely.
Let's not forget that it's a week, basically, most.
From one to the other.
For this, and I often, as an anxious person, I often find that energy not great to remember. I still need to meditate and retreat in that time, because I think the jump from resting for me to... all this energy can sometimes be too extreme, and I've found myself that is very common for me, and I have to pull it back a little bit.
I absolutely hear you, and I'm the same. And it took me a few years.
I get so excited.
Yeah, it took me a few years to kind of really acknowledge that, because I kept reading all of this stuff, particularly in The Optimized Woman, about how this is your power week and everything comes more easily and you're thinking faster and walking faster. And I realized, because I tracked my cycle for quite a long time, and what I noticed after journaling for a long time was that I always had this sort of day at about day 12 where I'd be just steaming along, and then all of a sudden everything would kind of hit me and I'd feel quite overwhelmed. And now I know when that day is coming, and I know that feeling, and it's just a really nice way to be able to talk yourself through a little kind of, you know, bumpy patch, and know that it's not forever. It's not who you are now. It's just a day, and this too shall pass.
I think it's also important, just like in The Untethered Soul, he speaks so much about making sure that you realize your thoughts aren't who you are.
Yeah.
You know, you're not And I think that's very similar with your moods or your hormones at these types of at these times where you will be heightened in areas. And whilst it is you, there are what you will react differently depending on where you are in your cycle. And that doesn't always have to define who you are as a person. Like, it makes up who you are. But I think I, you know, if I get really hormonal and go a bit extreme this way, or it's a bit out of whack, which it is, I'm still trying to kind of figure that out for myself. It's hard for you not to then get in your head and say, you're a nutter, you're a crazy bitch, you're a, you know, we get really
hard on that.
Well,
those are the messages that we've received from the world, from society, that we're not to be trusted, that we're irrational, that we're hysterical. And the thing is, all of those messages come to us if we circle back to the spring phase, which takes you up to ovulation. And then once estrogen peaks, you know, around that time is when you ovulate, and that then begins your...
But that would be... Oh, so right. No, that's not premenstrual.
That begins your summer. You. So that's your post... You've just ovulated. You've got a lot of energy still. You're still riding high on that energy, but it's kind of softer and you're more collaborative and cooperative, and you're more wanting to facilitate other people's projects.
So hang on, can I ask a dumb question? So
there
questions. Okay, you ovulate in the summertime, is that what you just said, or are you ovulating in spring and then but you don't bleed?
You ovulate at the end of spring. Once you have, you know, built up enough estrogen and you're in your pre-ovulation phase and you're getting things done and you're feeling dynamic, you're building up enough estrogen so that the most mature egg is released, ovulation occurs, and that then begins your summer. So your summer phase begins after ovulation, and that's when, you know, you've still got a lot of energy, but you're a little bit softer, and you've got a lot of energy that is also more inclined to be channeled to other people. So,
And you want to have sex.
You want to have sex. I mean, you know, the sex that you have throughout the month, I think can you know, I mean, some people want to have sex every day, and then that's great. But it can definitely change the type of sex that you want to have and the type of connection that you want to feel.
And is that when you're most likely to fall pregnant, like after you've just ovulated?
On ovulation. You can, you know, your egg only survives for a day or two at most, and sperm can live for around 5 days. So, you know, if you have unprotected sex 5 days before you ovulate, then you can get pregnant, you know, because you've had sex 5 days before you ovulate, or up until a day or two after you ovulate.
And that is why, for those of you that aren't at this stage of their life, pregnancy, you try and track your ovulation. So you have, that's why you see in the movies, we've got to have sex now, because your egg is dropped out of a follicle, and then the sperm is looking for it.
The thing that fucking blows my mind most about this is I am 28 years old. So I've had a period for quite some time since I was 15. So it's been like almost over 2 decades of having a period. And it's nuts that I'm only just learning this stuff now. And I think, I don't know if whether you agree with this, Lucy, but do you reckon a lot of that's got to do with quite unconsciously women going on the contraceptive pill and not really knowing or getting a vibe of what their cycle feels
like?
Yeah,
I mean, it equally saddens me and enrages me that we're still teaching menstruation in schools as though it's just something to put up with. And it's just something to put up with. And here, go on the pill because that'll help things. And here, while you're at it, take some antidepressants because the pill can sort of mess with your feelings a little bit. And good luck. Have a nice life. See you later. And, you know, I'm really loath to tell anyone that they should or shouldn't have a certain kind of contraception, because no one knows your body like you do. And if something is working for you, then that's what you should be doing. But ultimately, you know, the pill, it does dampen your own cycle. And effectively, you know, it can work in a lot of different ways, but you're not going to have the same connection to your phases as you would without it. For many people, you know, being on the pill is the best option for them at the time, and that is fine if that works for you. But a lot of people do feel like it does dampen their own menstrual cycle, and it does. And it's one of those things where, you know, we don't like to give people too much information because they're worried that they won't be able to deal with it. But I know firsthand that there are many, many 14, 15, even 12-year-olds who want to understand their bodies. They want to understand what is going on and how they can...
Not to mention, there's money in pills. Like, I think we need to also be very mindful that the messages we get from health professionals, and I use the inverted commas, is also a business.
That's right.
It's like antidepressants as well. You've got to remember that I don't know necessarily who's getting kickers and who aren't, but I think it's just very important to be mindful that everything is a business.
And I'm where still gagging to finish the cycle though. Like, okay, where are we up to? Autumn. Look, let's make this a full circle, guys.
So you've ovulated. You've peaked on estrogen. You've had your summer. And then for everybody, this is really different, you know, the transition from summer to autumn. Because essentially what's happening is you're riding this wave of abundant hormones. You've got progesterone coming in. You've got a top-up shot of estrogen. You've got all the things for everyone. And you're feeling like life is just absolutely a place of, you know, possibilities and positivity. And this is the time when I feel like, you know, I'm walking in the street and I just start speaking to random strangers and telling them how beautiful they are. And, you know, if a telemarketer calls me for something, I'm keen to chat, you know, and I'm just like, no, how are you? Like, what's going on for you? Where are you? Malaysia? What's the weather like? So you've got a lot more to give. And then at some point you start feeling a little bit prickly and it can be quite a shock. You just sort of think, hang on a second, what's going on? I had fucks for days, I was loving life, and now all of a sudden I've got my poo-coloured glasses on and everything's just a little bit shit, you know? And then you remember, oh, okay, I'm going into autumn, I'm feeling premenstrual, and I'm getting ready to do it all over again. And this for me is really the big lightning bolt opportunity. If you rag on yourself when you're having your period, you know, you're tired, you're not feeling as powerful, you're feeling a little bit inadequate, and then you rag on yourself when you have, you know, PMS because you're feeling a little bit prickly, that is half of your life that you're potentially feeling like you are less than. That is half of your reproductively viable life that you're getting around trying to do your best work and feeling like there is something wrong with you. And that is the part that really pisses me off, because there is absolutely nothing wrong with you. All that has happened when you start feeling premenstrual is that you've been putting out emotionally, energetically for 2 weeks straight. You've been, you know, you need less sleep, you're more generous, you're doing all of these things for other people, you're pulling out all the stops, and then you're starting to wind down. And it's no wonder, because if you look at what's going on internally, you are literally dropping. You're getting ready to do it all over again. And if you are feeling under pressure...
And I think that also, Lucy, is really important to know that that's also where we are at the moment in autumn. Mm. Like, it's a real bigger picture thing too. Like, if you think about it, that's happening every month in you, but also to pay attention to where you're at as a season. As just because you're talking about autumn, and I thought it's important because I know a lot of women around me are feeling like, okay, I need to start fresh. Yeah. I doing? Like, and you know, this kind of letting go, shedding, just like the trees, you know, and I think it can be a little bit, much more simpler if we do think about how the seasons turn, you know, and then
that's the thing. We understand night and day. We understand the seasons.
Do you reckon that this kind of, you know, and I'm not saying that it's for everybody, but there is, I don't know, this more awakening of consciousness to be more aware of our bodies and what are we doing? And do you think that maybe through decades and the ages where it's been with a rise of feminism, also with that has also been to our detriment in the sense that women are trying to be more masculine, to be more linear?
I think we've done a fucking good job to get where we've been in spite of how much has been done to oppress women. And that is the most wonderful thing about the women's movement, is that through hundreds and hundreds of years, it is still here and it hasn't gone anywhere. And every time it's pushed down, it rises up again. And I think that what's happening now is that people are realizing that, you know, you can wear a suit and you can get the corner office and you can push and push and push. But ultimately, you know, the sacrifice that you have to make means that you don't get to use all of the parts of yourself that make you an amazing woman. And the world doesn't need people now to be pushing through. It needs people to be listening to their deeper calling and their higher selves, and to be absolutely bringing everything they can in the most authentic way. And, you know, I think that the workplace is starting to wake up to the fact that women are fluid, we are cyclical, and that means we have even more to bring to a situation. We have more of a critical lens. We have more of a facilitating lens. We have, you know, all of these benefits to basically being four women in one. And it is absolutely time to harness that. And I think it's time it became mainstream. You know, there is definitely a shift.
Lucy, do you have like a couple of things, a couple of practical things that somebody listening to this show and saying, okay, I want to be able to create the space to be able to see what my cycle's like, see who I am. How would you suggest would be a good beginning point or a good diving off point to really start to notice things?
So the very first thing is to start paying attention. And that's something you can do right here, right now. What day am I on? If you don't know what day you're on, get out your diary or just start journaling. A couple of lines every day about which day you're on in your cycle and how that makes you feel. And then after about 3 months, you can go back and you can look at this rich data and understand what is going on for you when you're in these different phases, and when you transition, and maybe, you know, how to be prepared for them. And once you start understanding your body and your phases, I mean, some people have a 25-day cycle. They zip through their phases and they're like, I call them cherry tomatoes, because they've got all of what everyone else has, but in this sort of concentrated little power packet. So
they're delicious.
They are delicious. And so their experience of their cycle compared to someone like me who can have a 35-day cycle could be completely different. And no one else can really tell you that, which is why you've got to really pay attention for a little while. And then once you've got that information, not only can you use it as a lens to support yourself from the day to day, but you can plan for it. So for instance, I've got a really good friend. I don't know if you've heard of a show called Hot Brown Honey, but it's been taking the world by storm, and it's a bunch of women of color who basically have banded together to do this sort of bombastic cabaret that really challenges stereotypes around women of color. Anyway, my good friend Offa Fotu, who is a musician called Odette Mercy, she said she was asked to go to Sydney to write a screenplay. And she said, you know, they gave me a bunch of dates and I thought, well, yeah, I could go. And then she said, but hang on, what if I were to look at my diary to work out when I'm in my spring phase and to go over then, And that's what she did. And she said, and I absolutely nailed it. I went there, I got there, I was full of beans. I smashed it out for a few days and it felt really great. It's just a way of really kind of checking in with where you're at and thinking about how that's going to impact the decisions that you make and really just giving yourself what you need.
It's so bloody good. No pun intended, but seriously, yeah, you are
absolutely
doing such amazing shit, and including guys and girls in the conversation.
Guys,
as you
have
said,
to be in this conversation. Yes. We cannot do it alone. And there are so many different conversations that need to be had, but the one that I want to have really brings men in and says, we fucking need you. We cannot have this conversation in isolation. We don't live in isolation, and you might not have a period, but damn sure you know someone who does, and it's important that you understand how that can impact your lives together.
MyGreatestPeriodEver.com is where we can find more about you, Lucy, and also Melbourne International Comedy Festival. You're kicking off at the beginning of April, if you're around there. Or
yes, April the 9th.
Yeah.
It's safe to say you will probably have a few TG Posse members there after this episode, I would imagine.
Awesome.
Thank you so much for your time, Lucy. We really appreciate it. You can also find Lucy on Instagram, Lucy Speeches, and on Facebook, Lucy Peach. Thanks again.
Thank you so much for having me.
Did you love this podcast?
but you want to chat about it more, make sure you go to the Thinker Girls on Facebook. That's obviously us, and Insta, because that's where we're going to be continuing this convo with you, Posse.
Yes, we want to know what you think, Posse. So every week we'll be breaking down our podcast content across social media so you have an opportunity to share your opinions.
Plus, we're on Insta stories every damn day, so you get to come along with us for this crazy TG ride.
Yeah, Merce. Head to Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, or even Twitter to find us.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.